Welcome back to Preps KC's Football Friday Night, driven by the McCarthy Auto Group. I'm your host, Dion Clisso, joined as always by the coach, Harold Wamsgans. And a program like this wouldn't be possible without a great partner like KFC. Check out the KFC catering program for all your catering needs. And hey, coach, you're going to Thursday night at Shawnee Mission West. Maybe they have KFC. You're talking to that group, aren't you?
I'm talking to that group. I haven't heard what the menu is.
Well, that's every Thursday night, teams are having meals all across the metro. KFC is a great way to do it.
It could be. I'm looking forward to it.
And if you had the KFC, come back and tell us how good it is.
Okay? I will do that.
All right, let's go ahead and get back into the football and bring in our own Nick McCabe. Nick, you going to have KFC anytime soon?
You know what? I just might. Fried chicken always sounds good.
There's nothing wrong with fried chicken. And you know what's funny? And I don't want to get off on a fried chicken tangent here. You know, you grow up, original recipe is the deal. And that my family, we have original recipe more than we don't. But you know what? I like the crispy chicken. And I like that every once in a while, you just got to have that crispy chicken.
Yeah, I'm definitely an original guy.
Now, I'm the opposite of both of you guys. I'm a crispy guy. When I go into Kentucky Fried Chicken, it's crispy.
Extra crispy, yeah. And I'm like I said, that's the one thing. I like it every once in a while. In fact, my son had KFC a couple weeks ago when we went to the U2 concert. He got to have KFC over at my mom's house, so he was real excited about that.
Now, I do have to park at the far end of the parking lot, though, in order to burn up some calories over and back, right?
You definitely need to burn up some calories, but it's good food, and the biscuits are fantastic and all that. So that's enough about KFC. We're a great partner. We appreciate them. And that you have a catering need, contact the catering at KFC, and they can get you hooked up. All right, Nick, did you make it to Staley and Fort Osage last week? That's our first question.
I did. It was a great game. We stayed to the end. It was a great game. Very entertaining. It was kind of a defensive battle. I enjoy those every now and then. For three quarters, it was kind of, neither team really was able to punch it in the end zone. There were some big plays offensively, but neither team was able to really to finish drives. And then Staley is ready to seal the game up. They're ready to put it away and fumble at the 1 yard line into the end zone. And Fort Osage recovers it. They've got new life. They go the length of the field and they score and then they convert the 2-point conversion. Very gutsy call there to go for the win instead of the tie. And then Staley comes back and finds a way to answer with a great drive. Converted a big fourth down. And man, it was just a lot of fun, and I think the whole family. We took the whole family, and they all really enjoyed it.
It sounds like you saw a football game where both teams were undefeated, and they played like undefeated teams, right?
Yeah, I think Fort Osage, their defense in particular is really back. You know, after a year of a lot of youth on that team. You know, you talk about losing Skylar Thompson, and obviously that's going to be a big blow. But they lost a lot of pieces off of that team from 2015, and they really had a lot of youth last year and started putting it together in the second half of the year and played a little bit better football, and they've really carried that momentum into this year, and their defense is definitely championship caliber, and they were able to shut down a Staley offense that thus far this year has not really been slowed much at all. They've been dynamic, and they really harassed Staley into not looking very good offensively for the first time. And you know, we talked a little bit last week about Staley's defense being kind of much maligned, and they played much better this week, and they needed to because their offense was held in check a little bit, but the defense managed to come through. And so, you know, that's why it's a team game. You know, sometimes the defense steps up, sometimes the offense steps up, and for the first few weeks of the season, it was really Staley riding the momentum of their offense, but this week they needed their defense to play well for them to get a win.
Yeah, and I think you throw Liberty into the mix there, and those are three really good teams. And Staley and Liberty in the same district, so Fort Osage is only going to have to play one of them again, and I think that's probably how you're looking at it. That's probably what's going to be the matchup, Fort Osage and whoever wins that Liberty-Staley game down the line.
Class 5, it's always a barn burner, isn't it? I mean, it's just fun year in and year out, and it seems this year is absolutely going to be no different. Imagine if Park Hill were just a few students smaller again and still down in Class 5. It would really make for some great teams in that Class 5 bracket. And even as it sits, there's some really good teams. And, you know, Staley's certainly one of them. Fort Osage is one of them. It wouldn't surprise me to see either of them, make a really nice run. And Liberty, like you say, they've got some star power offensively as well with Robert Rye playing so well, and And you know, they're going in the right direction as well. I haven't lost yet, so the record is unblemished.
What's great about Class 5 in Kansas City is if those three teams happen to not be ready to play, somebody could jump up and get them. There are some other good teams in Class 5 from the Metro.
Well, right. Staley's got to play a William Chrisman squad this week that just suffered their first loss. And so, you know, you got some other Class 5 teams that are going to be ready and chomping at the bit. Liberty North, it wouldn't surprise me. They've had a rough start to the year. But new coach and Greg Jones, he knows what he's doing, and he brought a lot of staff with him. And it wouldn't surprise me at all to see that, you know, if they become a – I don't think you're going to want to play – if you're like you're in a two seed or a three seed and you have to go play Liberty North in the first week of districts, I don't think you're going to be really excited about that. That's a team that wouldn't surprise me at all if they're a real – at least a threat to win a few games in the playoffs once it comes to that postseason time.
Yeah, you kind of had the big three in Staley, Fort Osage, and Liberty. And then you kind of have the next three. You got Chrisman, Raytown, and Liberty North. And I know Liberty North, people are like, well, they've only got the one win, but their losses are to Kearney, to Liberty, to Staley. I mean, it's not an easy run. And then really another team in there, and Raytown and Belton will go to the other district with Columbia Battle. Belton's a good team. They're 2-3. They've lost to Platte County, Liberty, and Ray Peck, and been in and been in all of those games. I mean,
absolutely.
So it's the depth in Class 5 is not suspect. I mean, those are all good teams.
Belton could easily be 4-1.
Oh, very easily. And I think that it's definitely the most interesting class. That being said, Class 6 is the same way. There's depth in there. You see Lee Summit North, and Lee Summit starts 0-3, and they've won two games in a row, beat Columbia Rockbridge. So, I mean, that's Class 6, Class 5 on the Missouri side are definitely got some depth. Well, it's 6 weeks in. We're in week six here, and the halfway point of the 8-game regular season in the big classes. We really can start to see some people emerge as award winners. That being said, there's a lot of different people on both sides of the state line who are having big years. You know, look at Simone, and I think, you know, Robert Rowey's one of those guys. He's playing both sides of the ball, but there's a lot of guys out there. You saw the Staley quarterback who's off to a good start. And what do you think when you kind of look around and see all these guys putting up huge numbers?
Well, I mean, we talked about it a little bit last week that the quarterback play, just numbers-wise, there's some awfully gaudy numbers being put up. I don't know what Maples threw last week, but he was, 21 touchdowns or something like that through last week. So, you know, he's obviously putting up huge numbers, but he's not the only quarterback. There's a lot of guys that are throwing for a lot of yards. And there's a lot of guys that are throwing for a lot of touchdowns. Carter Putz is off to a great start. You know, had that 98-yard touchdown last week and has set a Kansas State record for career touchdown passes and has a chance to set the yardage mark later this year as well. So, I mean, he's a guy that has been knocking on the door of those awards the last couple of years, and he's going to be right there once again, I think. And, you know, it's just going to be a fun race to watch. And, I mean, you know, the Kansas, I know you guys have talked a little bit about the Sunflower versus Suburban Conference matchups, and again, Missouri was able to win a lot of those games, but Free State coming up with a big win, so they're going to have guys that you got to look at as well, because they're going to be maybe the best team in 6A on the Kansas side. So, you know, it's always fun as we start we're well into a month into the season, and we've got another month or so to go before we really start getting down to deciding ballots and stuff. We're maybe 5 or 6 weeks away from meeting as a media committee, Dion, and kind of figuring out who those guys are that belong on the ballot. I think it's going to be one of those years that's going to be tough to narrow down to 10 for each of these awards, because there's a lot of really talented players in the Metro.
On the opposite end of all those completed passes, we've got to have a lot of receivers. That race for the Otis Taylor Award is going to be very interesting.
Well, no doubt about it. I mean, and you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see that a couple of those guys maybe are Simone semifinalists as well. So there are going to be some pretty gaudy numbers. There was a couple of years ago where we didn't have a receiver that really, you know, had put up many numbers at all. You know, I'm not sure that we had more than maybe 2,000-yard receivers in the whole metro area. And I think this year it's going to be a very different case, where we're going to have a lot of guys that have a lot of big yardage totals. And so that one's going to be a fun one to watch as well.
Yeah, I can think of two. Dominic Jacinto from Raytown and Ronnie Bell from Park Hill. Those are two right off the bat. I think Trey Wheaton's going to put up some decent numbers at Blue Springs. They don't throw it a ton, but when they do, they seem to find Trey Wheaton. Caleb Marquez, who does a lot of things at Blue Springs. I mean, those are the two guys that jump off the page there. You know, talk about Simone. You know, Robert Riley playing defense, that's a good thing for him. Carter Putz is doing great things at Miege. The Lawrence quarterback, what's his name, Coach? Jackson?
Dante Jackson.
Dante Jackson's, I mean, they put up 35 points on Lee Summit West. Mario Goodrich and Phillip Brooks at Lee Summit West. It's a deep field. And as I'm starting to work on a project that we're doing, and we'll have more on that later, we're trying to get some things together. I'm seeing a lot of these numbers and seeing these teams, and they're playing good competition. So that's what makes it even more interesting, is that teams are putting up good numbers against good competition. So that's what validates it more in my mind.
I totally agree. If you go and beat the best and you put up big numbers while you're doing it, that says a lot to me, more so than racking up a bunch of yards against teams that are there for whatever reason, or maybe just not up to the same level. You know, if you're a quarterback and you stand back there and you never get touched because your offensive line is dominating the opposition, you know, it doesn't tell you the same as when you make plays when you're under pressure and running around. You know, Rayburn the other night didn't put up the same numbers that he's put up, but he made some plays and he led him on a game-winning drive down at the end of the game, and that was against a defense that was really, really good. So, you know, 200 yards against Fort Osage to me is more impressive than 350 yards against somebody where they can't get any pressure on the quarterback, and so you're just standing back there and kind of picking the defense apart.
Yeah, it's going to be fun and tough at the same time as we start to narrow those guys down. Well, Nick, have a good one, and we will chat with you again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.